Welcome to On the Spot, a podcast presented by Pubwise. You can't optimize what you can't see, so get ready to open your eyes to the latest advancements in programmatic advertising technology with Pubwise founder and CTO Stephen Johnston and other expert guests.
Hello and welcome to another edition of On the Spot. My name is Tony Winders, and today I'll be speaking with Pubwise founder and CTO Stephen Johnston about recent industry news related to decarbonization in the advertising industry. Stephen, great to be with you again.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
I love these times when we can surf around and look at different news articles around a particular topic. And this week, I just noticed that decarbonization and the environment were really front and center in a lot of the trade publications that we both read. And we'll put links to everything that we talk about today, but I'm looking at media posts in particular. And one glance of the headlines, you've got the ad industry holding its first national dialogue on greenwashing that's being put on, led by the Institute for Advertising Ethics. And then in a related story, just in the same feed this week, the former head of OMD, who stepped down earlier this year, he's going on to lead the U.S. operations for Ad Net Zero. So it just seems like a lot of decarbonization and environmental stuff in the news this week. And I thought it'd be good to bounce around and look at some of these and get your hot take on it.
There's sort of a theme of these first two as well, which is at least partly definitions, right? Ad Net Zero's rollout. I mean, they're sort of looking at standards body. This national dialogue on greenwashing is kind of about standards and that sort of thing. And I think that's really where we're at, answering questions about what does it even mean to decarbonize? And then in the case of this one, what does it mean to greenwash? We know what that is with food. When you get a bottle of water and it says no partially hydrogenated oils or non-GMO or zero trans fats, that's the one I see on water and other weird products that would never have trans fats in them anyway. They're just trying to put a healthy label on it in ways that aren't meaningful. Certainly, there's work to do in defining those things, like what is meaningful impact versus window dressing that doesn't really lead to the goal. And that sounds like what this dialogue is supposed to be from the Institute for Advertising Ethics. It'll be interesting to follow, see what comes out of it.
It seems appropriate at this stage of the game that these would be the kinds of headlines and activities happening. There were also some congressional hearings this week about the practices of independent agencies and PR firms that are being paid by the fossil fuel companies. I think that's what triggered the Media Post article in Media Daily News.
These companies are coming out and they're saying X, Y, and Z, and like maybe that has an impact. I think it's always important to know the statistic. We had this focus on straws and paper straws, and then people ask, well, what's the U.S.'s actual contribution to that problem? How much of the plastics is the U.S. putting into the ocean? You know, there's a lot of things people do that are cargo culty, or it's like it's being done because it seems popular. But as an industry, as like a technical person, as a person trying to build real solutions, and then you want to know, where's the real points of impact? Where's the high leverage things we can do? Where's places where we can move big things? It's a little different than sort of public PR or sort of perception to the average consumer. Someone trying to create a business with real impact like we are, where are the areas for real impact? And I think having a really honest conversation about that's critical, so that everybody knows where to point their effort.
I know you've been somewhat, you've expressed some skepticism about around kind of the total cost of ownership evaluation and total impact, and not, and being careful not to get caught up too much in all of the hype, and which I mean, ostensibly some of this early stuff that we're seeing feels very hypey and potentially greenwashing. But I know these companies like Scope 3 and the Ad Net Zero, they're doing their best to quantify this stuff. So I'm no disrespect to them, but it feels very early in our ability to actually quantify anything.
You know, total cost of ownership is, you know, kind of an infrastructure kind of question. You can make a change here, and if all you focus on is that change, then maybe you're being negative to something else. It's important to understand that the steps along the journey aren't the destination. And I think part of this is maturity. We see a huge focus on reducing carbon without a calculation of what are some of the other things, like in the case of electric vehicles, right? You can say, yes, now that car produces less carbon, but it has other impacts. And so the total cost of ownership for the human race has to be all of, you know, environmental impact. And so that's the mining, the steel, the parts of the battery, where do we get them? I don't think we have to be cynical about that, so long as we continue to ask those questions so that we continue to push the conversation beyond it. Okay, where's the next thing? And that's just like not being satisfied with the steps along the way, right? You know, if you're climbing the face of a big rock climbing wall, you don't celebrate at the third hole. And if there's 10 more to go, you got to get to the top. And I think that's critical. You could argue that all of this focus on electric vehicles is greenwashing. That electric vehicle is essentially a coal-powered vehicle. You know, the coal plant may be more impactful. It may be more efficient in some ways than gas, or it may be differently efficient. So you can start to make calculations, but its actual supply chain is not carbon neutral. And that's where the UN has all these different scopes of focus. And that's part of their, how they've defined the journey is like, look at your direct stuff. That's the electric vehicle. Then look at your secondary stuff. That's looking at the power plant. And then look at the whole thing, which would be, how are all those things assembled and built? It's a tough problem. It's as complex as all the other logistics issues we've ever faced.
Another article that we looked at was actually not in a trade publication, but I saw it on LinkedIn, which was from the current newsletter by the Trade Desk. And they were talking about why supply path optimization is the sustainable choice for brands and planet Earth. You had commented on that post in LinkedIn to say, yeah, well, the opposite of supply path optimization is demand path optimization. I'd love to hear your take on kind of how those things meet in the middle. I just thought it made perfect sense that the Trade Desk was taking that approach, but I like that you were kind of hitting the DPO side of it as well.
We've taken a look at this whole conversation around what is supply path, what is demand path. We're calling that advertising logistics. I would like to shed this sort of buy side versus sell side bias that's in the conversation and talk about, how do we optimize the connectivity in the supply chain for better results? I would like for us to look at advertising logistics more fully. If decarbonization is the impetus, then fine. But I think there's plenty of other things we'd like to know. How much carbon are you outputting could be one thing we could be leveraging advertising logistics, supply chain kind of conversations to track. But you could also be looking at other things like, are you able to, and as an intermediary, add value? What things did you do to this transaction? What did you add? What did you change along the way in order to improve its value? So of course, the Trade Desk is looking at it from a supply path optimization. They're on the buy side. We would look at the same kind of thing and say, but if a publisher is connected to 12 different demand side platforms, then they also need to optimize their demand path connections. Those two things together is really the holy grail. A smart, efficient publisher technology, making the right connections at the right time, configured in the right way to maintain revenue, connecting to a smart buy-side system that's doing the same kind of thing. Now both of the systems can work in concert in order to get everybody producing waste from the system. And that's where we really started on this conversation. Can we just not send as many bids? And we looked at it as a latency question. We looked at it as a publisher improvement. If you've only got 7 slots to do something, let's have the right 7, and there's hundreds that could be filling it. We looked at it as a technical thing. Now we're looking at it saying, well, the effect is it reduces carbon output. Someone using our technology sends less bids. Less bids in the system means less consumption of everything. We're doing it right. It's like ripping a weed out from the root instead of running around cutting the tops off it.
And that conversation about sending fewer bid requests into the system is what led you to create the idea of advertising logistics, which I know you just released an ebook on them. That whole premise, and they kind of go hand in hand. You were speaking earlier about the ability to kind of see what happens at every step in the process is like a package moving through a traditional logistics system. Tie that advertising logistics back to the decarbonization initiatives of the ad industry. They seem to really go hand in hand, but I'd like to hear how you would characterize that.
Well, we've got some ideas. I would love to use this social focus on a problem that everyone's identified, and there's some rally around in both a sort of industry economic sense and also a kind of a mission-driven thing here as well, to also deliver some real core functionality to all of the participants. If we can figure out a way to track what is everyone's carbon impact to the transaction, then we're going to solve all those other problems I'm interested in, like, why don't we have full observability? Why don't we have full insight into who's providing value when? Why don't we know what, and more importantly, why publisher inventory is being bought a certain way by a certain demand side? Right now, we infer a lot of that, just like companies like Scope 3 are talking about inferring carbon impact. But I think this is going to drive the question into really annotating bid requests with the information necessary to know the carbon impact. Once we have that infrastructure in place, we'll be able to do other smart things with it.
The other thing I noticed in the news this week, which was kind of cool, is that the decarbonization and the environment are making its way into award program. Digiday has the best sustainable ad tech platform, and we see ShareThrough is a finalist there for the launch of its green PMPs with Scope 3, speaking of Scope 3. And congratulations to Pubwise as well. I saw you were shortlisted for best application of ESG with the Wires Global Awards for 2022, in addition to one of the best new products or services on the sell side. So that's exciting and just interesting that the world's waking up to the importance of sustainability in advertising. And what we read, a stat that something like 3% of all carbon emissions are caused in some way related to digital media and advertising. And I just don't know how, that just feels very squishy as a number. I don't know how.
Oh, I'm sure it's squishy. You know, we've always focused on things that you can do, quantifiable percentage reductions. There's a lot of focus on measurement and definition, but if you're at the source and you're reducing it, then whatever that measurement is on the other side, we know that we can reduce it as much as 40%. The measurement of it becomes a secondary consideration. If you're producing 40% less trash, 40% less waste, then whatever the downstream impact of that waste is gone. You know, I'm looking forward to better definitions in the industry. I'm looking forward to being a part of helping those definitions grow. But where we sit at the source of bid requests, particularly into header bidding, reducing them and managing them and shaping them, just puts us in a really good position to have a meaningful impact without necessarily having to know all the details. We can focus on revenue. We can focus on reduction of bid volume while maintaining revenue. And all of the players now win. That's where the win-win-win is from my perspective.
It's great that you're part of that conversation in the industry, because clearly Pubwise is reducing the amount of waste that's going into the programmatic system. So I trust that you'll get all of the respect and credibility that goes along with that. And we'll look forward to helping tell that story. But for right now, I guess we'll have to leave it there for this episode of On the Spot. I'm Tony Winders. We've been speaking with Stephen Johnston, founder and CTO of Pubwise. For more of Stephen's insight on programmatic tech and its impact on the environment, please visit our blog at pubwise.io, and we'll see you all next time. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks.
This has been On the Spot, a podcast presented by Pubwise, the transformational programmatic advertising platform with radical observability and end-to-end connectivity for publishers and advertisers. For more information, please visit pubwise.io.